This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC and get 1 month free trial of premium membership. That's skillshare.com/AC. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including the new book, The Motivation Code, which is available now wherever books are sold. What do you do when you have a lot of creative interests? What do you do when you have so many different talents or skills or paths to pursue that it's difficult to know sometimes which project to choose? How do you apply yourself creatively when you're something of a creative polymath? Well, today's guest is going to help us sort through that. His name is AJ Jackson. He's an American filmmaker, a musician, a songwriter, a record producer, and maybe best known as the lead singer for the band Saint Motel, which is an international platinum-selling band. He's also the founder of a new company called Aview, which is an eyewear company. And I'm excited to talk with him about his music career, his songwriting, his creative process, but also how he chooses to apply himself creatively when he's got so many different things going on. How do you choose which projects to pursue in the moment? And so we're going to have that conversation with AJ Jackson of Saint Motel in just a minute. Before we do, a couple of things. First of all, we're going to start featuring listener questions on the show. If you want to ask a question for the show about the creative process, about how you manage your time, about any of my books that you've read, about anything you've heard on the podcast, just visit accidentalcreative.com/podcasts, and there is a link that you can use to open up a dialogue box, and you can ask a question, and maybe your question will be played back here on the show. So again, that's accidentalcreative.com/podcasts to ask your question, or just send your question to interact@accidentalcreative.com, and we'll try to get around to it here on the show. Also, want to let you know, today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. So every human was born to create. Whether you last picked up a paintbrush yesterday or in grade school, you can explore your creativity and be inspired. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. And we talk about on the show all the time the importance of growth to life satisfaction, to happiness, to a sense of progress in your life. All of these things are critical if you want to continue on that upward trajectory of creative growth, and Skillshare will help you to do it. You know, one thing that has happened over the past year is that many people in creative fields have had to figure out how to pivot in order to find new markets or find a new way of making a living because, you know, COVID has kind of shifted the way that the economy functions in many ways. And if that's you, or if that's maybe what you're looking at right now, there's a great course on Skillshare right now called Finding Fulfillment, Using Pivots to Power Your Creative Career with Emma Gannon. So listen, you don't have to do things alone. You don't. There are people who have been there, who know what they're doing, who can teach you how to get where you want to be, how to develop the skill that you want to develop. And you can find it on Skillshare. And by the way, Skillshare is incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. So explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC and get a 1 month free trial of premium membership. That's 1 month of a free premium membership at skillshare.com/AC, skillshare.com/AC. And we thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, I'm excited to welcome to the show today, AJ Jackson. AJ is an American filmmaker, musician, songwriter, record producer, and perhaps best known as the lead singer of the international platinum-selling rock band Saint Motel. He is also the founder of Aview, a new sunglasses brand bringing you shades in every hue of the rainbow, which I'm excited to discuss with him. AJ Jackson, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Truthfully, I have no idea where to start with you. There are so many things I want to ask you. I mean, you're a bit of a creative polymath. You've made films, you write music, you produce music. Now you've launched a new company. So I guess maybe let's just go all the way back to the beginning, if that's okay with you. I understand that you started writing music around age 7. How did you discover music, or how did music discover you?
Well, so we we had a piano in my house growing up, and I took piano lessons as a kid, and I really just hated it. And then, you know, one day I hid from my piano teacher, and she was really offended, and she asked my mom, "Is he doesn't like playing the piano?" And she's like, "No, I don't get it. He plays like every day. He goes down there and makes noise." And so, you know, very, very cool lady she was. She's like, "Well, what do you want to play?" Because at the time, my lessons were learning the same song over and over and over to compete in what they called recitals. So, you know, just playing that same Bach song over and over. And so I started playing these little kind of things that I was making on the piano, and she encouraged it, and she kind of was doing some harmonic parts to it and some other kind of things. And that's kind of how it started. And then I started playing music for kids in like lower school and in music class. And then some kids started, you know, rapping on it in middle school. And then I was in my first band in like seventh grade and just never stopped.
So at some point you decided, wait a minute, I think maybe this is what I want to do, the music thing. But you were also doing a bunch of other stuff, right? Career-wise, like you started out really sort of studying film and kind of doing film professionally before you were really, I guess, doing music full time, right? So how did that pivot to film happen for you?
So it's kind of interesting. I love playing music, and that's kind of something I've always done in written music. But when it was, you know, came time to choose something to study, I didn't really want to, I don't know, part of it was just my experience with piano lessons and then sax lessons and middle school band. I didn't like that part of it. Like, I loved creating, but I hated being told how to create. So I didn't want to go to school studying, you know, in hindsight, it probably would have been very smart to go for music production. But, you know, another creative love is film. So that was what I ended up studying. But, you know, it's a great example is first day of like editing 101, they're like, you're never going to look at a movie the same way again. You're only going to start focusing on the cuts or, you know, same with cinematography or what have you. And I always wanted to try to keep as much as possible that beginner's mind with music, because there's so much mystery there and so much like instinctual magic that, you know, I want to always keep it feeling like I'm solving a mystery. I don't ever want it to feel like I'm painting by numbers.
Well, so I have to ask about that, because, you know, you make music and then you achieve a bit of success, not a bit of success, a lot of success. And now people around the world are singing your songs, and you go back into the studio, right, after you've had some success, and you kind of are on the other side of the looking glass. Like, what does that feel like to you? You know, the first time you're making a record, maybe it's like, maybe this will work. I don't know. Let's do it. We'll see. But then it does work. And then you go back in, and now everybody's kind of waiting for your next thing. So what does that feel like for you as a musician?
It's never the same. Like, as soon as you start writing music, knowing that people know it, or that, you know, you kind of have to, you know, now you have a label involved, or, you know, management company, you have tour dates coming up, and it's never the same. And I feel like ever since every album process, I've tried to approach the creative aspect differently. So our album that just finally is finished release is the original motion picture soundtrack. And I started that one by renting a place in the mountains. And I used to write in the studio of my house where I lived. And you kind of never really turn it off when you're there. Like, you're sleeping in the same place where you're writing. So I got this place, this cabin. I would go there in the morning. You know, I kind of had a bit of a schedule. You know, I would like write from this hour to hour, then meditate, then go for a hike, then I would eat lunch, and then I would, you know, do something I didn't do. And I kind of broke it up, and I really kind of liked that. You know, before that, St. Moi Television was written pretty much on the road while we were on tour and stuff like that, because we needed to finish the album. You know, every album process is different. The My Type EP that, you know, got assigned, that was never supposed to be an album. The idea is, like, I was going to put out a song every month. I had so many songs. I was just writing nonstop from, like, 2012 to 2013. And by the time we got to our fourth song, we got signed, and they said, okay, this is going to be our EP, and then we'll figure out if it's going to be an album, and then, you know, everything happens, and then whatever. Before that, Voyeur was a completely different experience. Like, it was two different, basically two different albums combined into one. One was we did as like part of this development deal with a label that we don't want to mention them. And, you know, we worked with kind of a more rock producer. And then we had a certain amount finished through that development deal. And then I ended up producing the rest for the first time. And that's when I started producing, is when I started adding elements of, like, you know, horns and strings and different percussions. And so that's kind of the experience of that album. And then the first one we made was 9 songs in a day in a studio in, you know, North Hollywood, which is like the traditional old school method of doing it. You got one shot, you got this producer, you got the studio time, get in, we got to, you know, like, totally different. Not a fan of that style. I feel like that's limiting for creative. But, you know, at this next writing process, I'm trying to do, you know, pandemic's making it a little bit difficult, but the pandemic's also kind of making it feel, you know, more vital to do now than ever. But I've always dreamt of buying an around the world ticket and writing it as I slowly move around the globe, recording samples as I go and, you know, learning stories and history and meeting other musicians around there. That's been my like dream since I was a little boy. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time to do it. I don't know. You know, we'll see if the world opens up like it should. But yeah, every album, every creation period's different.
I love that you shake up your process in that way. Cause I think sometimes we get stuck because we get settled in, we put ourselves in a box, right? Process wise. And, absolutely, you know, our rituals exist to serve us, not the other way around. But I think sometimes pros slip into this mindset where we start to think the ritual is the magic. And the reality is the ritual just serves us maybe for a season. And then it's time to shake it up and do something different.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing is, when you're, you know, being creative, like most of your listeners are, it's there's a part of it that exists somewhere outside of you, right? And it's trying to figure out how to tap into this thing that you don't know where it comes from. And I feel like that's kind of the journey. That's why shaking things up sometimes can lead to great results or not, but you know.
So how do you decide which project to pursue? I mean, you're making films, you're making music, obviously. Now you've launched a new company. You know, how do you, you've got all these ideas, obviously, but it's not about the idea, it's about which one you pursue, right? So how do you know when an idea is right, whether it's in the studio or elsewhere?
You know, that's a great question. I'm not sure if you do really know. I know this much about myself, is that I love being creative and coming up with the ideas. And it's always finding that line of like execution, which is why I think I've gravitated so much towards music, because it's the quickest creative process to, from your head out into the world. Whereas, you know, then you kind of go into the more visual film kind of side, slower, and it's a bigger team and more expensive and more difficult. And then with the eyewear company, it's a whole nother level. And, you know, really it's just, I needed these glasses and they didn't exist. And I just thought that was silly. And, you know, the pandemic really gave a little bit of breathing room. Tour came to a crashing halt and kind of was, it was finally the time to see what it was all about. And I've been kind of doing as much of it myself as possible and slowly kind of, you know, giving it out, because I wanted to use it as kind of a learning experience. But I have definitely learned it's a lot, man. It's a big ordeal.
So I wanted to talk about A-View, your new company. Before we dive into that, though, I would love to just visit something you just said. You were talking about the pandemic. I know that the pandemic has hit different people differently. You know, I've heard people say like, oh, we're all in the same, you know, we're all in the same boat. Well, we're actually not. We're all in the same storm, but we're in very different boats, you know, many of us. And I know
it's a good way to put it.
Like you and many of your musician friends, I mean, people in the events industry in general have really been hit hard over the past year. And I think people don't realize there's an entire ecosystem that's supported by, you've got the band on stage, but there's an entire ecosystem that's supported by the fact that that band is on that stage, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how do you right now, like, how has that affected you and your loved ones and the people around you? And what do you see as the path forward? Do you think this is going to change the way that the industry functions, or do you think that it's going to kind of go back to the way things were after COVID?
I think it's, you know, without a doubt, going to leave a lasting impact on the music industry and live events and touring. It definitely hit us hard. We got really lucky in a sense that we were touring up to the day the shutdown happened.
Oh, wow.
So we got a solid, you know, 3 months in for the album and, you know, going around the country and into Canada a little bit right before our next show was in Milan. And it was like right when things were getting super crazy. So we were fortunate in that regard that at least we got to get some touring out before it shut down. And, you know, a few months after, then it started becoming like, oh my gosh, wow, this is really lasting. And we all kind of got the itch, and we were seeing people at our like booking agencies getting laid off and management companies going through huge changes. And it was happening really fast. And, you know, it was kind of crazy. But I think the impacts that it's having on the world as far as moving things very quickly towards, you know, remote experiences and at least having that aspect to it. I don't think there's any way you can ever recreate the feeling of a live concert, but I think some interesting things that, you know, we're talking about and we've seen people kind of integrate is why not, you know, integrate a live stream option for all your tours? Like, why not have another option for people that might not be in a city or country or touring, be able to tune in that night? Like, something that doesn't take much work. I don't know if anyone would ever gone through with it before the pandemic, and now it seems like a pretty viable option to, you know, expand your fan base and your reach of every concert. You know, during the pandemic, we did really explore heavily the virtual concert option, and we were getting very close to doing something in that world that was going to be as pan-technological as possible, everyone from the headsets to the, you know, watching it online. But it just became kind of a daunting task price-wise, and it just kept on getting bigger and bigger. And by the time we were getting things pretty locked in, everything started opening up again, and we were basically announcing our tour. And we're like, okay, I just don't know if it makes sense anymore. But I think that is a world that is exciting, and there's some companies that are doing just fantastic things in the virtual space. I mean, it's still getting there, but yeah, I think, you know, lasting impact, some for the good, some, it's been really interesting to see. Yes, everything shut down, and it was very scary, and then everything opened up, and everybody wants to go on tour at the same time and release music at the same time, and I've never seen anything like this. Yeah. It's, you know, we're lucky we got the venues we did for our tour coming up starting in September. We're lucky we have our crew, you know, our amazing crew, because like it went from nothing, zero to hero very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, you that's fantastic. It's so great to hear. I'm so glad to hear that things are coming back for you and that people are being carried along with that. I do think you're right. There's sort of this pent up energy. I think people are ready to get back out there, get back to live events. And yeah. I know that you're definitely ready to get back on stage for sure. And you know, your point about the pandemic and some of the innovations, I think you're right. I think we were forced to adapt in a way that might have taken us 5 or 7 or 10 years, but we had to figure it out quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the best parts of that are going to stick around, you know. And I'd love to be able to tune into a Saint Motel concert from Cincinnati, Ohio, where I am, and you're playing in like Milan or something, right? That'd be really cool to be able to do that.
Right. And I mean, the technology was there for this, you know, years ago. It's just the reasoning for it wasn't really there. The justification for it, maybe adding one more box to your tour bus, you know, like,
yeah,
or having one more task for your crew member. It's like, is anyone really going to tune in? But now it's like something to really consider.
Yeah.
You know, because it is kind of a shame how it's difficult to, you know, we only really tour a small part of the world on our world tour, quote unquote. And if it was up to us, it would be much more encompassing. But you know, with these kind of technological advances, hopefully it opens the door somewhat.
Hey everyone, we're going to get back to the conversation with AJ Jackson in just a minute. We're going to talk about how his new company, Aview, resulted from a need that he had and he realized other people have as well, which is where many of the best ideas come from. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is also brought to you by Voices. So Voices is the world's number one creative services marketplace with over 2 million registered users. The working world has permanently changed to include more virtual, remote, hybrid work, and this is actually a very positive and powerful thing when it comes to completing projects and elevating your brand. Have you noticed that more and more of your friends and colleagues are turning to freelance marketplaces to meet their needs? And did you know that freelancing contributed $1.2 trillion to the U.S. economy alone in 2020? The future of work is freelance, and Voices is expanding the services offered on its platform to help you meet all your creative project needs in one place. You know you'll get the voiceover, translation, audio production, and music composition services you need quickly when you use Voices. You can get high-quality responses from highly skilled talent in a few hours, sometimes even in minutes, when you post your job. Voices make sure there's no risk when you hire talent. With the exclusive SurePay service, your funds are only released once the final files have been delivered and you've given your seal of approval. And the choice is always yours when you use Voices to meet your creative needs. With a comprehensive platform of skilled professionals, you can rest assured you'll find the right fit. When you hire your creative needs using Voices, you'll never pay to post your job. And when you post your free job, you'll get quotes that fit your budget with custom responses. When you hire, you'll have complete confidence that you found the best talent with no surprise costs. With over 100 languages and accents to choose from, working with Voices gives you access to the diversity you need to make waves with your target audience. So visit voices.com and post your job today. Again, that's voices.com. We thank voices.com for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. And now back to AJ Jackson. So some of the best innovations come out of times of adversity and pause, and your new company, Aview, is one of those examples, right? So tell us about Aview. What is it and where did the idea come from and what exactly is it?
Yeah. So it's, I guess the world's first interchangeable frame, interchangeable lens frame sunglass company. And the need came from, first of all, on a very simple aspect, if you wear glasses and you wear prescription sunglasses, you most likely have dealt with having to carry both. And that's where this started. I hated that. So I wore clip-ons. And, you know, that's kind of a first step in the right direction. You have these clip-ons that go on your glasses that you can, you know, maybe put on your shirt collar or, you know, but at the end of the day, you really needed a case for those too. And when I got into clip-ons is when I started experimenting with different colors, because I found these vintage clip-ons and I found them at some thrift store in like a brownish sepia tone, and I found them in black. And I was like, oh, great. So I can switch out colors, you know, depending on the sun, depending on my mood, depending on what I'm feeling. And then very quickly, I lost the sepia ones. And I was like, looking to find more colors. You know, I was looking online. I got some, you know, not so great ones online. They didn't really fit well. And at the end of the day, I was like, this is ridiculous. I want more than just the sepia. I want all the colors and I want them at any time. And it just seemed, you know, the same way clip-ons work, that you could slip in the lenses, and that didn't exist. So I talked to some of my friends, some inventors and engineers in Minneapolis that work for 3M, and we kind of just like started brainstorming, and I started like drawing and some ideas of how they could just work. And you know, the more we did, it just became so much fun, because like it all kind of led instinctually to where it should go. So like, you know, you have the handle of the lens, so you never touch the actual lens. That goes in and out. And then that actually, you know, hangs off the side. You push it up. If you want to take it out, you know, push it down to put it in there. So it all came together. I don't think it would have happened maybe as fast without the pandemic. It definitely gave some time to really, you know, prototype. I was going down to my local library and 3D printing. I got really lucky that where I was, they had a 3D printer. I think I maybe abused the system a little bit because I was there like every day with different prototypes, and they knew me as the glasses guy. But you know, that was initially, I was going to try to keep it maybe just small and do made to order ones, just ones for myself. And then it was just prohibitively expensive to do it that way. So we ended up actually doing, you know, the injection mold style with this thermoplastic that is lightweight and bendable, so it can, you know, actually not snap when you have a space, a gap in the top to slide them in.
Yeah. Why multiple colors? Like, why multiple shades? You know, yeah. why not just, you know, one or maybe two?
Oh man. Well, okay. As creative people, I think you're going to get this the same way, you know, you change up your routine or your rituals. It's, you know, colors have just as much of an impact on your outlook and your well-being and your mood and what you're doing and how you're feeling. So, you know, I slide in these rose lenses, and that saying, you know, see the world through rose-colored lenses, that's actually rooted in Civil War veterans. Doctors would prescribe them rose-colored glass to look through because it was changing their mood. And it does really feel like it has that effect. Like, rose makes you happy. Yellow is great for energy and hyper-focus. It's obviously the most blue blocking you can do when you're looking at a computer screen. But yellow's like, you know, it's mid-afternoon and you're feeling a little sluggish, you throw in some yellows and you're like, woo, you know, you're back. Blue is, you know, since it has the kind of biological feeling of getting your body recharged and going, blue light kind of gives you a refreshing feel. Green and black are both just great for taking down the light. Green has a bit better color contrast. And then brown is like, you know, I've always kind of liked brown and sepia tones, is they feel, you know, you're taking down the light, but you also have kind of a vibe, and that vibe feels to me timeless and nostalgic. So I put those on, and I kind of feel like I'm walking through a dream. And I think those are the six colors we have now, but, you know, looking into violet and amber, and eventually, ideally, any color you can dream of, we will make it for you. And you can use it whenever you need to get the benefits you need when you need.
I love that this idea was the result of you scratching your own itch. I love the fact that you went down to the library of all places, or like 3D printing your prototypes, right, of this. I mean, that's just phenomenal. And I find, I mean, don't you find that sometimes, like, you probably make the music you want to listen to, you make the films that you want to watch, and you make the glasses that you want to wear, right? I think that's probably a principle we all should live by.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone was just asking me about writing music and, like, if you can try to, like, game a hit song, and I'm like, maybe, but you're not going to be happy with it. And, you know, most songs that you know were written because the people liked them and they had no idea. And I think it's like that with any creative endeavor. Is you make it for yourself, and if other people like it, that's great. You know, I'm not sure that's the best idea on the business side for marketing a product, but, like, honestly, I didn't really care. Like, these are the glasses I need. And I know someone out there that wears glasses is like, oh, yes, finally. And when I hear people that wear these that are like, you know, this is something I've needed for a long time. You know, even if it's just like 1% of people, like, that's fine. You know, like, it's scratching that itch indeed.
Well, I'll tell you right now, like, I'm going to be ordering a pair because I have that exact problem of, like, when I'm driving, I need to wear sunglasses, but I need prescription sunglasses, but I don't want to wear those all the time. And it's just such a pain, right?
I mean, that's level one, you know, switching out glasses and prescription sunglasses. That is amazing. It's great. You carry less stuff, you know, you can always replace it. You're protecting your prescription and you're saving money on making two pairs. But a road trip is a perfect example. So I was recently on a road trip, and it changes. You don't want to be, so two examples. One, I was driving to a friend's birthday party in the California coast, and I just grabbed some sunglasses. I didn't actually have my Aviews. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm stuck with these green lenses the whole trip. And I'm like, you know, now that I've had Aviews, I'm like, man, I really wish I could be switching out right now. Like, this is not the color I need. And so on another road trip, I was driving to Texas. You know, you wake up in the morning, you slip in some blues, it feels refreshing. As the sun comes out, you get more intense with your light blocking into, like, black. And then in the afternoon, you switch to some brown. You know, it started raining, threw in the yellow so my eyes could focus more. And then, you know, in the evening, a little rose, you know, just a pleasant way to wind down. But it's just, at the end of the day, I feel like we'll be successful when people realize it's silly to spend a lot of money on glasses, or even prescription sunglasses that are one color.
Yeah. I love that. So if people want to know more about AVIEW, they can go to AVIEW.com, AVIEW.com, right?
Yep. AVIEW.com.
Fantastic. All right. I want to ask you one more question before you get out of here. It's something I like to ask people who have had a degree of experience and success in their career. And I'm always surprised by the answer. I'm sorry, I'm kind of blindsiding you with this. But what would be some advice that you have for young creative pros who are just starting out in the industry as somebody who is a little farther down the road?
Yeah, no, I wish I was given this advice. You know, if it's music or if it's any art form, really, you know, find the thing that you're really gravitating towards, or the thing about it. If it's a song, you're like, oh, I'm loving this. Or if it's a work of art, because I think, you know, emulating your heroes takes you so far, but you need to find your own kind of voice in that regard. And then when you find that, just drum on that as hard as you can, because if there's something inside you that's resonating with it, someone else is going to resonate with it. I've seen a lot of people try to chase trends. It doesn't usually work out as well. I guess the advice in that case would be find your unique voice and then be true as much as possible to that voice.
I love that. Such good advice. AJ Jackson is an American filmmaker, musician, songwriter, record producer, and lead singer of St. Motel and the founder of AVIEW. AJ, if people want to come find you and learn more about all the things that you do, where can they go?
I guess my Instagram, AJ Jackson Jr., or AVIEW.com, or St. Motel. Those are all good spots.
Fantastic. Well, AJ, thanks so much for taking the time to share your insight and wisdom with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, I really enjoyed that conversation with AJ. I hope that you did as well. If you want to know more, again, you can look for St. Motel anywhere you listen to music, or visit AVIEW.com to learn more about his new eyewear company. Also, if you want to jump on my weekly email, it's called 3 Things. I send 3 things every Sunday that I think you're going to find interesting. Just go to accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Or if you're not yet following the podcast, please follow the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Accidental Creative is part of the Airwave Media Network. Go to airwavemedia.com to listen to more fine shows like this. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.